time, I'd like to introduce our first speaker, Patty.
I'm Patty, and I'm an addict.
Okay.
That was one of the first times I was really glad to hear the Bath of the Traditions. I got a little longer wait before I had to get up here. I think it's a little lengthy, but it's good stuff written in there. One disease, one program. I got this call and was asked to share at this convention, and said, well, yeah, sure. That's not what my insides were saying, though. My insides were thinking of reasons, well, what day, and maybe I can get out of it because I usually have my daughter on weekends, and that's all the stuff that was going through in the first place when I got the call. But then I just said, well, what's the topic? And they told me this. And there's no coincidence. I know that now. Because that's part of an issue that I've been going through right now, working with a younger group as our home group is helping sponsor a group. So we see a lot of that stuff. And we were talking about introducing in the beginning language used in meetings and identifying it as addicts and the terminology that we use, and it's important, and I heard it when I first got here, and so I think that's why it's still with me today. But let me tell you how I got here, but y'all don't know. I started using in teenage years, and mostly for peer acceptance, I think. I wanted to fit in with the people in my neighborhood and belong, and I longed for a feeling of belonging for even in my own family growing up, because I really never ever felt like I even fit there. And everybody started getting high, and I said, well, you know, I'll try it. Try anything once, twice if you like it was our motto, and I liked it. Did it more than twice, and did it for a good 15 years, and anything I could use, I got my hands on, I would use, and I would use it until I couldn't use it anymore. And that led me to a point back in September 23rd of 88, where I hit my bottom. And it wasn't all, you know, real bad. In the beginning, it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of experimentation and partying and exploring inside and outside myself. And it didn't stay that way, though. It wasn't fun anymore. It couldn't take me out of myself. It couldn't erase the things that were going on inside of me or outside of me anymore. And I couldn't control myself with these drugs. I would always try to bring myself up if I was down, or bring myself down if I was up, or just numb myself out if I was feeling too much, or induce some feelings. I wasn't feeling anything. So I was always trying to control my life using drugs, and thinking I was controlling the drugs until my bottom, when I realized that, you know, I never was in control. The minute I picked up, I was active and on a roll into this disease, which is a disease. And it wasn't until I surrendered and asked for help. I went to Beebe Hospital and turned myself in. I said, you know, you got to help me. I'm a mess. My life's a wreck. What's wrong with me? What do I got to do? And I was a basket case, I must admit. And they started talking to me and asking me, well, what happened to make me think that, you know, I needed to ask for help? And I said, well, if you had a husband like mine and just got through the fight that we went through, we were duking it out in the bedroom and the TV was flying and bumped my head and he pushed me into the table and all this stuff, and my child was watching and she was crying and it was a terrible scene. I said, if you lived like this, you know, what am I going to do? How am I going to get away from him? And she said, well, I don't think you really realize why you came here. And I said, well, wouldn't you want to get out of this kind of situation too? She said, yeah, I would. She says, you think you might have a problem with drugs? And I said, you know, I don't know, maybe. She said, well, maybe you ought to go on home. And I said, what do you mean? What do you mean? I can't go home. I can't go back there. And she said, well, and she started talking to me about this disease. And she started talking to me about me. And I couldn't understand how she knew me so well. And I said, so essentially at the end of our conversation, well, you know, maybe I do have a problem. And she said, okay, well then, come on in here, and there's a bed in this room, and you can stay here tonight, and we'll talk to other people in the facility and see where you'll go from here. And I was so relieved that I didn't have to go back to that place with that person. And when I woke up in the morning, I was in that place with that person, which was right here inside of me, and I was scared to death. And I ended up staying with this detox for 27 days. Didn't have a lick of insurance. And they were trying to give me a state bed in rehab and couldn't get one. So I ended up staying there. And they found me a halfway house to go to. And I went there and stayed there for half a year, and a three-quarter house for another half a year. While I was in the detox, people came and took us down to meetings. They took us in-house and in the facility and out in their cars to all these different meetings. These were people I did not know. And they just came and took us there. And I couldn't understand. I was trying to offer them gas money. I'm trying to figure out what is it, you know, they were getting out of taking us to these places, and where was it they were really taking me? And the minute I walked into my first NA meeting, there was about 6 to 8 people. I can't remember exactly. I remember most of the faces and the names, though. And they all came up one at a time, arms wide open, to hug me. Hi, welcome. What's your name? And tell me their name. And keep coming back. I mean, all of them did the same thing. And my jaw was down to my chest, and I was shocked by this, but I felt good. I felt like, oh my gosh, what is this? And so I listened throughout this whole meeting, and these people shared from their heart. They shared what happened to them and how Narcotics Anonymous had come into their life and changed their lives. And I listened. I think it just didn't seem like I ever did before when I got to that point. And I felt like I belonged. And I needed that. Like I said earlier, I needed it all my life, that feeling of belonging. And that made me want to keep coming to these meetings. So I didn't care who came and picked us up, what meeting I went to, just get in the car and go with these people and listen some more and find out what they have to offer. I don't remember too much of what I heard specifically, but that's why they told me to keep coming back, because more will be revealed. What I did learn was that I have a disease. I didn't realize that. I had a lot of other things going on, you know, outside problems like I was talking about earlier, but I didn't realize that the problem was me until I got there and or here, Narcotics Anonymous. Then they told me the good news was that there was a solution. You know, they can't cure this disease, but however, if I didn't pick up just for today and I kept going to meetings, and I did the other suggestions that they kept giving to me, that the quality of my life would improve. And as it had in their life, and they told me how their lives had changed. And I said, well, if this is working for them, it maybe could work for me. So I just kept coming back. And read more, listened more, got a sponsor. I've been through a few sponsors since I've been in recovery, which is typical of me and the relations that I've had all my life. But today I have a sponsor who's just right for me, works with me and in my life in a way that I never knew before. I had a little picture sitting on my end table at home. She's a really, really special woman, and she's a spiritual advisor to me. She's like a mom to me sometimes. She's a friend to me. And she's another recovering addict to me at all times. And this woman has guided me through my recovery to this day, and worked me through the steps. And that's what they were telling me, the solution was in the steps. And they're talking about, okay, I have this disease, and I have this program to help me with this disease. And the program is like I was thinking while we were here in the readings, what is NA? And it is a program. The simple principles. I mean, principles in this way that we presented in a simple way. And it didn't seem real simple in the beginning to me. It all sounded real complicated and way over my head, and I didn't get a bit of it. And I'm a real repetitive learner because I got this great forgetter, so that's where the keep coming back keeps working for me. So I do. I keep coming back. I keep reading the steps. I keep working through the steps, actually. Sometimes I read and write about them still today. And talk to my sponsor about them. I go to step meetings. Conventions where they have step workshops and things like that. And I learned about them. And what I found out was that there were principles in these steps. And that's what I needed to learn about. I needed to learn about the principles that are in each one of these steps. And then once I learned the name of them, I had to find out what they meant. And once I found out what the definition of them was, I had to learn how to apply them in my life. And that's what has been my ongoing recovery ever since. I've been showing up trying to live by spiritual principles, practicing them every day, trying to be honest, trying to be open-minded, and ever willing to do whatever I need to do in order to stay clean and to align my will with God's will today. Because that's not the person that came in here. Not at all. I want what I want when I want it. And coming to Narcotics Anonymous is really changing that. It's a major surrender over and over and over again for me every day. So I do that. I just keep showing up, and as a result, I've been able to be less centered in self and a little more giving and aware of other people. And it's good. I was frightened of people when I first got here. I was scared to death. Although the hugs and the welcomes felt good because I longed for it, I was still afraid of it. And today I can walk up to perfect strangers and say hi. Not even people just in the program. I couldn't do that before. I can stand up here and do this, which I would have much rather just jumped out of an airplane than done any other given day of the week. And still don't like it, but do it anyway because I know that this is what I got to do in order to stay clean. And maybe not speak and all that stuff, but share. And share my experience, strength, and hope. That's what I got to do, and that's what I've been doing. And it's been working in my life. So why finally? I faced a lot of my fears, and since I've been clean, I could list on forever on what they are. And some of them have brought me major accomplishments, and outside and in. I've said that a few times today too, because this program does work from without and from within. They say it's an inside job. We used to hear this guy say, "Suit up and show up." That's 50% of the battle. And I was like, what does he mean? I'm scratching my head. So I'd just get dressed and go to a meeting, and that was half the battle. And I would sit there, and I'd carry my mind to the meeting, and my body to the meeting, and my mind would follow. And I would start getting things. And the more I showed up, the more it would sink in, and all of a sudden the light bulb would come on, and something would register. And now I would, oh, I see. And to this day, as I keep coming back, the light bulb comes on, and it may be at a different level or a different perspective or a different angle that I didn't have in the beginning or months ago or even a week ago, maybe even an hour ago sometimes. But that's that open-mindedness again to remain teachable for me. I have a home group as well as a sponsor, and I love this home group now. I've just moved in the past 2 years to Ocean Gateway area, and but all my needs are met here as well as they were where I was before in Delmarva, and we all used to be one big area, but things change and we all grow. And it's been a neat experience living back in Maryland and getting clean here and staying clean here. The home group is based on It Works How and Why, and we do traditions the first Tuesday of every month and the other steps the rest of the Tuesdays. And that's been a real important part of my recovery, because I feel responsible for my recovery. I know that I am, and in order to do that, I need to not only learn to live in my own skin, but this person in this skin needs to learn how to live with all y'all. And that's what the traditions are teaching me. And we as a group find it's imperative in our recovery to go there today and to look into these traditions. Even if we read them and don't know what to talk about when we're done reading them, we've at least heard something. And if we keep repeating it over and over and over, something's going to stick, some light bulb's going to come on, and it's going to take us to a deeper level. And it's doing that in my life, and I like that too. And I love the people in my home group. They're great, they're wonderful people, they're very supportive, they're family to me today. And I need that feeling of belonging. I am an addict, I have the disease of addiction, and I have the program of Narcotics Anonymous to help me stay clean. And with that, I'll just keep coming back. Thanks.
Thank you, Patty. At this time, I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Chris.
Hi, everyone. I'm an addict, and my name is Chris.
Hi, Chris.
I'm glad you're all here. Narcotics Anonymous saved my life, and I've stayed clean since December 28, 1983. I believe this topic is like, you know, the core of how I've managed to stay clean. Listening to Patty, I wanted to share a little bit of my history, which I usually don't talk about, you know, what happened and how I got here. I usually just talk about today and what's going on. But listening to Patty, I really want to share. You know, I was a hopeless addict, and I remember the first time I saw the word Narcotics Anonymous, it was like on this schedule in this long-term psychiatric hospital, and they were going to take us to these meetings, and they took us to these various meetings. I saw Narcotics Anonymous, and I said, well, what's that? You know, because we were already going to, we had already gone to one or two AA meetings, and they said, well, they're drug addicts, and it's total abstinence. You know, that scared me. You know, I didn't want anything to do, you know, with total abstinence. I couldn't imagine not living without any kind of drug. You know, I could say, okay, I'll put down the alcohol, but I got to smoke pot and trip too. You know, I thought I could get those drugs and would still not send me down the tubes like all the other ones. But I got caught drinking in Johns Hopkins Hospital and had a syringe. And I showed up at this treatment center with a syringe, where they had that message board with Narcotics Anonymous on it, and it was a 60-day program, and then a 90-day halfway house program, and so I got introduced to the 12 steps, and I managed to go to my first world convention, Narcotics Anonymous. And I was gung-ho recovery. And on my six-month anniversary, I got high. And when I got high, I decided I've got two clean dates, one for this drug and one for that drug. And, you know, what am I going to do? And I'm going to go to this place and that place. And but, you know, I can say I've only gone to Narcotics Anonymous since 1984. You know, I found a home in Narcotics Anonymous. And I had to get honest and realize it was not the drugs, it's the disease. It has nothing to do with the drugs. So today I know I have a disease, and the cure for my disease is Narcotics Anonymous. And the thing that unifies us all is that we're addicts. It doesn't matter if we're men, if we're women, if we're gay, if we smoke pot, if we drive motorcycles, if we're handicapped, if we have depression, if we have AIDS, we all got the same disease. And by having one group with all those different kinds of people keeps us so diverse and unified and interesting and growing that it's one disease. And I never belonged anywhere in my whole life. No matter where I was different. I grew up all over the world. I never fit in. I used all kinds of different drugs. I ended up in any place I was longer than 2 weeks, I ended up in jail. And that was several states and many countries. And I ended up in many psychiatric hospitals where I had to escape. That were going to keep me for the rest of my life. I'm serious. They put me on drugs where I couldn't talk. You know, just completely, because I was crazy, wild, violent kind of person. And I found, you know, with Narcotics Anonymous, the total absence thing is what's helped me live. By being clean, I was able to survive my emotions. I was able to stay clean for the long haul by not taking some kind of pill to help me. And I understand the disease. The answer to our disease is spiritual. It's not chemical. You're looking at like an atheist spiritual person. This is what I am. I don't go to church, but I pray. I believe in God. I believe that I'm clean today because of grace. There's no other way to explain it. When I'm in tune with my spirituality, I'm connected and I'm growing and I'm happy and I'm free and I'm joyous. When I'm not in tune, I'm an out-of-control addict. And, you know, that happens daily. So all I have to do is think about NA and I get back on track. I can say that I've attended NA at least 5 days a week my whole recovery, if not every day. So, you know, the miracle is I didn't have to use anything today. All I did was go to NA. I've never had to seek a therapist. I've never had to go to a special interest group. I may be deficient in the areas of relationships, but I have a very good relationship with my higher power, my sponsor, myself, my home group, and newcomers call me up every day, so I know I'm doing something right. You know, I'm still being available to other people. I try to put others first. So I think it all started, you know, with the, as Patty was saying, it's the steps. There are all these principles and the steps. And the first step of Narcotics Anonymous puts the focus on the disease of addiction. And I have addiction on both sides of my family, so I bought into the you were born an addict ideology. You know, it was easy for me to see, yeah, okay, that's an easy way to explain why I can remember using drugs like at age 3, you know, why I was bringing alcohol to school in first grade, you know, why I smoked a joint in 72 and woke up in 83. It was like, that explained it. Okay, I was an addict. And that was what I had to do to survive, to escape. And today I see it as self-centeredness, but because of the steps, I'm able to have some God-centeredness there, like having all kinds of opportunities to grow, like getting more honest, being more open-minded, being more patient, being more tolerant. And when something really fucked up happens, I say, well, my higher power has a sense of humor. You know, it's like, here's a great opportunity for me to deal with this differently. So with the first step, I understood it's disease, not drugs, but disease. I have this disease inside me. I can no longer blame the drugs, the girlfriend, my parents, the job, other people. I had to look at myself and accept that and take responsibility and take care of my disease, whether it's praying, going to meeting. I still have a hard time with dealing with problems, so I'm the first one to tell you about my problems. You know, I get it off my chest real quick and ask for help. So the disease, I accept that. The Narcotics Anonymous first step is the disease, and my life is unmanageable. I was an unemployable person. I couldn't hold a job for more than 2 weeks. And the miracle today is I had a job for 7 years. I lost it because my employer died, and now I'm back in another job where everybody's complaining, and I have no complaints. You know, I'm just a grateful person to be alive today. I mean, my life was so horrible by the time I got to Narcotics Anonymous. I wanted to die. You know, I had given up all hope. Every little bit of life of me was gone. There was not even any hope. And that's the miracle. People in NA loved me until I could love myself. Like, as I said in the beginning, I never fit in anywhere. I fit right in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I found a home. There were some other places I didn't fit in. I couldn't let it all hang out. You know, I couldn't tell you anything and everything. But in NA, I found I can say anything, and it's no big deal. So by making that commitment to NA, first accepting that I had the disease in the first step, second step, I found the hope because I got clean in spite of myself. Through the help of NA, I got clean. There was hope for me. And I said, okay, I believe in this. And somewhere along the line, I decided to make my recovery more important than anything else. Because I really didn't have much to give up anyway. But, so, with that, I guess I got the, I started, my sponsor helped me with understanding how I got clean is grace, but for the grace of God. There are other people who aren't clean. I didn't do anything different than that person, but I'm here standing today, here clean. So I don't take that for granted. And the third step, I surrendered and I made a commitment to Narcotics Anonymous and had the belief that NA works. You know, there were people that told you you had to go other places, do other things, and I realized that NA works and had total faith in NA, that I didn't need to do anything else but go to a meeting, talk about what's going on, show up, and I was somebody who didn't think they needed to work any steps or do any writing or look at my past. I was clean, things were fine. And, you know, it's just, in spite of myself, I'm becoming a spiritual person. It's just an amazing thing, amazing phenomenon. It's like they say, in order to keep what you have to give it away. What you put into it is what you get out of it. So, I really believe in NA. You know, NA saved my life. I give credit to NA. And, you know, there are probably all kinds of issues I could work on and things I could do, but, you know, I really get everything I need from NA. You know, any group I go to, I can get something out of it. There hasn't been one bad meeting I've gone to. My life is so busy and so full now, I'll go to a meeting and it'll be on open-mindedness or surrender or some topic that was not a part of my day, you know, and it's just amazing how much I forget that, yeah, I was supposed to pray today, yeah, I was supposed to do this today. When I go to the Narcotics Anonymous meeting, I'm awakened to some principle that I can focus on and grow with. We read something out of the basic text, it's like I've heard it for the first time. It's very profound. So I made that commitment in the third step, and through the help of a sponsor, I was able to take a look at my character, which was pretty bad. I was just a very negative, fearful, guilty, frightened person, and I couldn't really think of any good things about myself. My sponsor helped me with some good things, and you know, I'm one of those persons that believes one step a year or however long it takes. You know, it's a very slow process, and I guess around 7 years I started accepting myself for who I am, felt comfortable in my own skin. You know, I didn't have that much low self-esteem, and I started feeling really good for who I am, and I didn't have to prove anything to anybody, and I was just doing this for me, and it didn't matter. You know, I was cool with who I was, and I had my own little set of values that I could live by. And there were lots of things about my character and my nature that I didn't like, but I had to accept those things. You know, that my sponsor kind of like removed the lines of seriousness from my forehead. You know, because that was another big problem of mine, was I was so serious about everything. And I could lighten up and start enjoying life. Start living in today and the here and now. And be grateful. And I had a tough time with my 8-step list. It took a couple of years. You know, so it's like a real honor to be up here and share that Narcotics Anonymous saved my life and I'm a grateful member. and all I do is go to NA. I'm one of those proud members of Narcotics Anonymous that's still here, still has faith. I have friends who are still clean and they don't go to meetings anymore, but I see that they're not growing. They're not helping other people. They're caught up in the rat race. And I don't want to be like that. I can honestly say that every week of my life is getting better. And it's really good right now, so I can imagine what my life's going to be like later on. My life's getting simpler, quieter, more grateful, less obsessed. I get more joy out of communicating with other people than isolating. I get joy out of seeing other people, talking to other people. I'm allowing other people in my life. I really wanted to talk a lot about the pure things of NA, like, all you need is a group. You don't need to split yourself off into what sex, race, age, drug, whatever. That hurts us. When a lot of people don't have faith in the program, they go on medication. I know for me, I can't take anything. That if I'm feeling depressed or down or suicidal, it's probably because I didn't go to a meeting. It's probably because I didn't talk to somebody. And it means I need to do a little more. And by getting so far down and coming so far up, I'm able to grow. That's how I get my spiritual growth to survive. That's how I get my survival skills, from going through all that stuff without taking anything. I know it's a controversial issue, and some people need to take stuff for pain and have some other disease. But I know for me, someone who's been diagnosed with all kinds of personality disorders and all kinds of illnesses, that all I did was go to NA. I found a home here, and it's been working for me. I guess I'm running out of time, right? 5 minutes? Okay, what can I talk about? I guess I got stuck on step 8. So I made that list, I said it took me a couple years. My sponsor helped me with it. And then I realized with step 9 that it was about forgiveness. I didn't have to blame anything on anyone else. I could forgive myself. I could look at, I was that person because of addiction. That was not the real me. The real me is coming out today and recovering. I'm the real person today. That's how self-acceptance comes out, accepting the whole package. And by being a committed member of NA, that's making amends. Not being that old person, that's a big amends, just staying clean for society. Now I'm a working member of society, helping other people. That's a big amends. I got all the defects of character that are in the book, my 10th step helps me see them when they come out and how I could maybe do something different or accept that that's my nature or it's not a big deal. And if I harm somebody, I can correct that. And they've given me the ability to take a look at myself, A lot of people don't really take a look at themselves and their interactions with other people. But NA helps me with that. It helps me when I go to groups. When I go to an NA meeting, that's like a 10th step for me, because I'm seeing what principle I forgot about today. My 11th step, I say, take my will in my life, guide me in my recovery, show me how to live, and God, thank you for keeping me clean today. You've given me a great life. I have a wonderful life. It's just an amazing life. I know you're going to take care of me today. I have faith. Thank you for for this life. And I try to be quiet. And I try to give thanks at night when I go to bed. I don't do this every day, I don't do this every night, but the days that I do do it, it's a lot better. Because I can get so, like with my new job, it's so stressful and so much stuff to do. My program is out the window, you know, from the minute I wake up. I'm just too exhausted to do anything. And my 12 step is always being available for other people and showing up to NA, helping people, realizing that I do have a higher power, and this spiritual awakening is my true nature is here. I am the real person I'm supposed to be. I'm coming alive. I'm this live person, caring person. I try to look out for coincidences, and just the fact that I woke up today is a miracle. You know, there's just so many different areas that I can grow, and all the principles, there's room for me to grow, to be a better person, a more caring person. And I really have to say that my whole life is because of NA. Without NA, I wouldn't have any hope, any happiness, any purpose. Even walking around in society, mixing with other groups of people and stuff, I'm okay today with who they are, with who I am. And I actually have everybody in NA to help me as support, you know, for this disease that I have, this disease of self-centeredness, low self-esteem. I'm never going to be good enough. I don't fit in. I got to get it now. It's never going to be enough. You know, that kind of stuff that I believe that all addicts have. Never satisfied, ever. No matter how good things are or how much you have. For some reason I got caught by the NA bug. And I made a commitment, you know. And I'm alive today because of it. I'm a grateful member today because of it. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing. We have about, thank you to both of the speakers, you were wonderful. We have about 20 more minutes before I open the meeting to those who'd like to come up to the mic and share. Please remember that part of the sharing is sharing the time. I'd also like to keep in mind that there are the other addicts who want to speak that are waiting behind you. If you could come up one at a time, no pushing or shoving. we'd be happy to hear what you have to say.
I'm an addict. My name's Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Thanks for sharing your stories and your recovery. I used to go to both programs, and I got clean in September 6th of 1986. I figured I'd share a little bit about the One Disease, One Program because it was an issue in my recovery. When I had about 5 or 6 years, I basically got introduced to the other fellowship first, and I went and had my sponsor in the other fellowship first when I was about 21 years old. What happened was I think he had like 3 or 4 years, and I figured he worked a really good program because I heard him sharing at those meetings. But the best thing I liked about him is that he said I could basically, you know, smoke marijuana still. And that was my other drug of choice. I mean, I had like 5 drugs of choice. You know, but, you know, he said I could still do that. And that was one of my first experiences that kind of allowed me to think that I had like 2 or 3 months clean in this 12-step program. So I would smoke the pot, you know, and go to the other fellowship and think I was just doing fine, you know. What happened was I wound up eventually using all my drugs of choice again, you know, and committing felonies and all that stuff. I wound up in a treatment facility, and that's when I got introduced to Narcotics Anonymous out in Harrisonburg, Virginia. And it was a real small area, and they had like 2 meetings a week. So I went to this treatment facility, and you know, both fellowships, and you know, you could sign up for the NA meeting if there was one that night. So I would always sign up for that one, and they bust us over to that meeting. That's where I felt like I was at home. I wasn't real familiar with like what they meant by freedom from active addiction. I didn't know that it meant all drugs and everything else that prevented me from being close with my higher power. But that was way down the road. But I knew I just felt like I was at home. I heard people sharing about the similar experiences that I had. It wasn't about going down to Joe Schmo's bar and stuff like that, because I had just turned 21 and I really wasn't a big bar stool drinker. So I just felt like these people had what I had. They had the disease that I had in Narcotics Anonymous. But nonetheless, I still had a strong desire to be in the other fellowship because I felt it was more acceptable in a lot of ways. And so when people would ask me, you know, what 12-step fellowship are you in? Or if they had a bumper sticker that said, you know, I'm a friend of Bill W's, I would be like, hey, I'm a friend of Bill W's too. It's great that we're both in AA. And I wouldn't really, say that I was an addict in Narcotics Anonymous. So I really hadn't accepted maybe the fact that I was actually an addict and not the alcoholic. And so I think I had an AA sponsor, and I had an NA sponsor, and I worked with both of them, and I did this for like my first 5 years. I've met a woman in NA recovery, and we wound up getting married. But anyways, we moved to Pittsburgh, and I would go to these NA meetings in the evening, and I would work in the city, and there's the other fellowship meetings at noontime. I just thought that was wonderful. So I wound up hooking up with another sponsor in the other fellowship up there again. And I really got into getting past the substance thing, and I would concentrate on this spirituality and recovery and everything like that. But I was still working both fellowships. And it wasn't until I moved back to Virginia when I had like 6 years that all of a sudden it occurred to me that I belonged in one fellowship that meant the most to me. And what happened was through all my service work that I did for NA in my first 6 years, I never did service work in the other fellowship. Something really turned me off about their service work. It was, I don't know what was wrong with it, but I really enjoyed my service work in Narcotics Anonymous. And so all of a sudden, when I had like 6 years, I decided that I would not... I didn't really decide that I would not go to the other fellowship anymore. It just happened. Light turned on inside my head and said, well, you're doing all this service work for this, for Narcotics Anonymous. You know you're an addict. You got all these other addictions now. I mean, I did my 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th step and found out like I had like all these other addictions, and it wasn't about one substance that you know what I'm talking about. I found out that I had addictions to sex. I had addiction to material things, money, and all these things could potentially take me down in recovery and bring me to an emotional, spiritual bottom in recovery without even using. So every time I go to any meeting, it would occur to me that when you say, you know, we are powerless over addiction, that and our lives become unmanageable as a result of that, acting out on those things, it occurred to me that this is where I belong, you know. And so there's no more, because I still kind of did that in, even when I had 4 or 5 years. I mean, I would play, kind of just try to play one off the other. I would say, well, I can still act out on these other addictions, because it's not anything to do with the chemical substance. So the fog lifted, and I said to myself, well, I got a lot of work to do on myself in terms of other addictions. And these are preventing me from doing God's will on a daily basis. I have to work on those. In order to do God's will, they have to be kept in check, they have to be removed, or whatever. So that's my experience, and thank you for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
Hi, I'm Judy, I'm an addict.
Hi, Judy.
Last night I had a seizure here, and I just want to thank people here for calling the ambulance and getting me to a hospital. It proved to me that love goes through Virginia to Maryland, through everywhere, spirituality the same. And I didn't know how sick I was until what happened last night, that I actually do need these people. I have 35 and a half days clean. The longest I've been clean in 4 years. I just wanted to take the time out to thank everybody for taking good care of me last night. It really meant a lot. When I'm 400 or 150 miles away from home, and your family's not there, NA is. It was scary. It was real scary. Everything I'm learning here about a disease. And I had my first time in NA was last year. I had a hard time admitting that I had a disease because I didn't want to feel plagued. And now I can admit it. I relapsed for 1 year. I feel like I'm a little out of it. My head hurts. I feel very proud to be here. I wasn't going to come, but my sponsor thought it would be a good idea. So I did, and I'm happy I did. even though I didn't get to enjoy any of it yesterday because of being in the hospital, but I feel very proud. I feel like I'm actually got my step in the right direction now. And I don't want to live that life again of active addiction. It was a very painful and trying life. It caused me a lot of pain and a lot of people around me the same. So what I base my conclusion is that I have a disease and I'm a sick person who has it. Thank you.
I'm Jim and I'm an addict.
Hi, Jim.
And, you know, I came to this forum for a reason myself, like some of the other people who have spoken. I was hoping that I had one disease and it was called alcoholism, you know, and so I got sober before I got clean, was attending meetings in that other fellowship, and figured I could continue to use my drugs. And that, you know, I was even suggested that NA was for me, and I thought, oh no, my drugs have been classified as non-addictive, so I can go on using them and I'll be fine. And I wasn't. You know, I didn't get any better, and apparently my disease was obvious to others beyond myself, because I tried several times to get sponsors in that other program and was turned down repeatedly. And the only time I was ever able to get someone to agree to be my sponsor was when I promised I wouldn't call him. And so you can imagine that that wasn't very effective for me. But when I finally did get hospitalized and beaten down to the point where I was willing to listen, I did go to an NA meeting. And I looked around that meeting and saw people like me. And I recognized some of the people that I've never seen before, and heard some things at that meeting that I hadn't heard before, or maybe they'd gone past my ears but not in. And I've been clean since that first meeting, and I'm really, really grateful for this fellowship. But there have been other things that go on. You know, I have since joined another fellowship beyond this. Another NA that helped me give up cigarettes, and I'm really grateful to them. I haven't been to one of their meetings in over a year, but I haven't had a cigarette in over 2 years. You know. That really did give me another perspective on this disease, but I'm still at home in NA and really, really glad to be here. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much.
Hey, I'm Albert. I'm an addict. Kind of nervous standing up here. One disease, one program. I listened to a tape at my last convention. Until that tape, didn't realize the problems I was having. I was causing myself. Over 3 years in here, realizing that this was such a big aspect of my life and how I had to work the program in my life. You know what I mean? That I was actually recovering. I'm recovering from so many different things, and I was only using it in two aspects, in my using and drinking. You know, I was such a recover. I had to recover from being a thief. I had to recover from being a liar. You know what I mean? And what I did was I pushed those things aside, and it didn't give me room to change. You know what I mean? That's what I feel. That's what I got out of your message about change. For some reason, I'm really nervous up here today. Usually, I'm just talk, you know, and But I tell you, man, it's been an eye-opener. I listened to a guy named Usman. You've probably heard from him. And his message just rang across. Now I run with that tape. When I run, I put that tape in. I have to re-listen to that tape over and over again, because I have to realize that it's one disease. one program for me. I need to realize that I am a thief. I am a liar. I'm an abuser. I'm an addict in all different aspects. You know what I mean? And the only way to recover is to fix myself. You know what I mean? That all those things are just little symptoms. You know what I mean? Like my using cocaine was just a small symptom. If I fix myself, I don't use cocaine. If I fix myself, I don't lie. You know what I mean? It just rolls down the hill then when I fix myself. I don't fix myself today, I'll go lie. I don't fix myself today, I find I pick up something that's not mine. You know what I mean? I walk out of the room with it. You know, and I don't even think about it. That's if I don't change. You know what I mean? That's what I feel, man. It has to be such a repetitive thing each day for me, man. Because I was such a thief. You know, and I deal with that in the fourth step. And I go to the sixth step and look at my defects. And I push that away, man. I mean, working and stealing every day from where I worked. You know what I mean? Going home with that money in my pocket. And then pushing that away for a couple years in recovery. You know what I mean? And then having to deal with that. And, you know, you talk about hitting bottoms in recovery. That's the worst. You know what I mean? Hitting bottoms out there wasn't that bad for me because I just went and used. And that covered up those feelings. Now I have to hit these kind of bottoms in recovery and I can't go use. You know what I mean? I can't substitute that now. And that's a great thing because of the base I have, man. The foundation that I've built with people around me. And it's luckily, too, I do have a wife in recovery myself. And sometimes she has to pull out the old aluminum bat and beat me upside the head because, of course, I'm so thick-headed. You know, and I'll get those old ads. She's like, who's this person? You know, who are you? You know, and I'm getting abusive with my words. And it just happens slow and subtle with me. It's a time when I'll go a week, you know, and I'll not make those changes in that week that I need to make to keep moving on in recovery. You know what I mean? And it's such a much bigger process for me today. And it's so much easier today because it makes it easy when it's one disease, one program. I don't have to complicate it anymore, man. It was so complicated back then. Oh, man, I got to recover from this, 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 and this. You know what I mean? I have to look at all this stuff in every different aspect. How am I going to do this? It's like it says, man. What an order. I can't handle all these changes in my life. You know what I mean? And it's just so easy. So easy when you don't look at it in all those different aspects. I'm looking at one simple thing. I changed the way I live today by living recovery through NA. I don't do those things. Simple. You know what I mean? I live the principles. I don't do those things. I don't have to put them all in a pile anymore. They're all in one pile all by themselves. You know what I mean? So today I choose. You know, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much. I'd like to thank everybody who came up and shared. And if we could just put our hands together and thank Patty and Chris again for sharing experience with us.
I'm an addict. My name is Nathan.
Hi, Nathan.
Just for today, tell yourself. Just for today, my thoughts will be in my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I'll have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I'll have a program. I'll try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I'll try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I'll be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations. People who are not using have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
We close this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Preferably in a circle.
They have a problem, they deserve it.
Well, I didn't mean to lie at anything.
Please have a moment of silence for the still sick and suffering addicts inside and outside these rooms, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Keep on that. Well, that's okay, don't worry about it.
Yeah, sure.
This is your pen. How do you feel today?
I think that's what
I should say. I try not to. It's not mine, I don't want it.
Oh, they don't have to come out that way.